Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they moved in with their grandparents due to financial reasons. But was it worth the paranormal trauma they experienced?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Do you have a real ghost story? And if you do, would you share it with us? Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to go with the ad-free version of the show, advanced episodes, and access to the archive, that would be a premium subscription. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free there. You can also sign up on patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today. How's everything?
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay, I think. I don't know. It's just like,
Why don't you know?
I don't know. It's like, I swear, do you think sometimes the universe is just testing you? It's like, Jump this hurdle, now this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. That's how I kind of feel.
Yeah. It's just, I definitely think the universe tests you all the time.
I think that's what's going on today. So I don't know. So I don't know how it's going, but how's everything with you?
Well, it's good. I was thinking, as you were saying the intro, about whether it's worth saving some bucks to put up with the paranormal trauma.
Not always.
That was interesting because I thought, you know, we actually hear this quite a bit with a lot of people that they're in a situation they just can't financially leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're kind of stuck with this rental or whatever until they can get out of it. You know, I hate to say this, but I was kind of on the other end of it one time when my ex-husband and I had a rental. And I'd had a couple things happen to me in that house that made me think there was something going on, you know. And actually, you lived in the basement of that house for a little while, so you know what I'm talking about. But did you ever have anything happen in that house?
No.
No? Well, I would have some odds and ends things happen where I would hear stuff that wasn't right or sounded like somebody was hammering or something when nobody was around, you know, kind of some odd noises. And so I always kind of felt just a little bit like something was going on. But then we had some people that we bought a different house and moved. And so we decided to just have it for a rental. So some people moved into it and one time the woman called my husband and wanted to know if he could get rid of the ghosts that were in the house, if there was something he could do about that. And like, well, he was just kind of dumbfounded because definitely nothing had ever happened to him in that house. And he's like, no, but, you know, there's Catholic church up the street. You can go up and see, you know, they'd probably be more help than me. And so then I didn't hear anything more about it. But when they moved out, there was all this weird stuff, like in the windows. They had like chicken wishbones hanging in windows and garlic in the windows and stuff. So she was really flipped out in this house. But it was kind of weird because it was the opposite. You know, we were renting the house. And what do you do if somebody calls and says, we think there's ghosts in the house?
I don't know that there's a little place in a book where you, or you could just Google online. Like, what do you do when your tenants want the house blessed?
Yeah. But, you know, like I had never told him that I kind of had suspicions that something was going on in that house. And so I kind of got it when she said that she was a little flipped out. I'm like, yeah, you know, I think there could be something there too, but I don't know how to get rid of it for her.
I don't remember anything paranormal happening in that house. I do remember being the sickest I've ever been in that house. Mm. That's when I had that really, really high fever and I had to go to the hospital. Yeah. And my fever was 105 something. Like I could have died. Yeah. I was so sick. And then the other traumatizing thing was in the basement where I lived. Had a bedroom and there was a little living room and I saw a mouse in there and I could
never go back. Well, that would be worse than the spirits,
then I was like, I will move my TV into my bedroom. I'll never go back in there again. And I hardly did, which is so weird. That's how bad my fear of mice is.
Back to our conversation in just a second. I want to talk about these guys. Factor, love their food, ready to eat meals, freshly prepared, chef inspired. Oh goodness, it makes every day just a little bit more enjoyable. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef created and dietitian approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan, veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition pack add-ons. I love those to help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. What are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals to go. Two-minute meals. You fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are. Boom, like that. So much better than, you know, those frozen things. Yeah, this is fresh. This is delicious stuff. There's snacks. There's smoothies. Discover a whole wide variety of options for your entire day, like for breakfast or midday snacks, all that. You can even sign up and save, too. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is there for you. Like I said, get as much or as little as you need by choosing from 6 to 18 meals per week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to eat. There's no prepping, cooking, cleanup. It's all right there for you. Makes it super easy, especially after a busy day. You just want some good food. Head to factormeals.com/ghost50 and use code ghost50 to get 50% off. That's code ghost50 at factormeals.com/ghost50 to get 50% off.
Well, let's go to a story today. And this says, first off, I love your show. Been listening at work every day and hearing other people's stories has inspired me to share some of my own. For my entire life, I'm 26 now, and long before I was born, my grandparents lived in the same house in Southern California. The house itself isn't all that old, but my grandmother is an avid antique collector. She collects anything from old creepy porcelain dolls to kitchen utensils dating all the way back to the 1700s.
Okay.
That's crazy, Grandma. I've never heard of that. I guess, you know, people collect all kinds of stuff. We experienced that when we went through our mom's house. What's this? Oh, those are little creamers from the 1940s. Okay. For my entire life. Oh, wait. Sorry. Read that. The entire bottom floor of the house is decorated with antiques. Kind of creeps me out a little bit. When I was a little, I was always terrified of spending the night at their house because every time I fell asleep, I would have horrifying nightmares. I would usually end up sleeping with my grandparents in their room, but even in there, I would hear strange noises throughout the night, like footsteps and whispering and cupboard doors opening and closing in the kitchen. My mother also grew up in that house and had many strange experiences. My grandparents run their own business out of their home, and over the last several years, their business has run into some hard times. When I was 18, it got so bad they were in danger of losing their home and desperately needed help. My mother, brother, roommate, and I moved into the house with them to help financially. It was a better deal for all of us. The four of us had been crammed into a tiny apartment, and my grandparents had a large four-bedroom, two-story house with a large backyard and two dogs we adored. I loved the house and its familiarity, but as soon as we moved in, we all started having strange experiences. They began as mild and somewhat harmless and dramatically increased over time. A few weeks after we moved in, I was sitting in one of my grandmother's antique chairs in the main living room, brushing my hair with my favorite blue brush. My brother was sitting on the couch across from me on his laptop. I set my brush down on the chair next to me to talk to him, and a few minutes later, when I went to pick it up again, it was gone. I looked all around the chair and on the floor, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't explain it, but I brushed it off at first, which I don't think that pun was intended. I brushed it off.
But it was a good one.
I know. And then if it was intended, hats off. Good one. The brush was missing for weeks. And finally, one day, I told my mom about what had happened and said aloud, I wish I could find it. That was my favorite brush. And to my shock, the next time I went into my room, the brush was sitting on my bed. I almost thought it was my mom playing a trick on me, but she hadn't been home the day it disappeared. Objects often disappeared and reappeared in strange places, and that became a regular occurrence for a while. I had my glasses disappear from inside my brother's room when we were both in there, only to find them sitting in front of one of the dolls when we went downstairs for a late night snack. My mother and I have had clothes disappear and found them months later in the garage or under our beds. The activity began to increase, and we would hear footsteps at night, whispering downstairs, and cupboard doors opening and closing. The creepiest room in the house by far was the den downstairs. There and there always felt dense and heavy, and any time my brother or I had friends over, they would complain of headaches or feeling uncomfortable in the room and wanting to leave. A family friend once brought her twin toddler boys over one evening. We were all in the den watching TV when suddenly, out of nowhere, one of her boys looked to the entrance of the room and began screaming and crying in terror. When we asked him what was wrong, he only pointed, and when his mother tried to take him out of the room, he absolutely refused to go near that spot and even threw himself on the ground to avoid it. These types of experiences became more and more frequent, and although I was fascinated, I was becoming more and more uncomfortable. On more than one occasion, we would be at the kitchen table for dinner, where we had a clear view of the entrance to the den, and we would see the shadow of a very tall, thin man walking toward the kitchen and then vanishing, or leaning around the corner to look at us. We couldn't see his face because it was so dark and shadowy, but it looked like he was wearing a suit. On some nights, two or three of us would all see this. Not to sound too crazy, but I believe there were multiple spirits in that house, and this man scared me the most out of all of them. I've never really been afraid of the dark, but once things started happening in my bedroom, I began bringing my dog in to sleep in my room with me every night and keeping my light on a dim setting so I could see everything around me. Some nights I would have trouble sleeping because every time I felt like I was close to falling asleep, I would feel like someone was standing over me, and sometimes it would even feel like someone was shaking me awake. Outside of all our bedrooms in the hallway, we had one of those baby gates to keep our cat separated from my grandmother's cat because they didn't get along. On some nights, I would actually hear the gate loudly creak open, and I would hear loud footsteps coming toward my bedroom. A couple of times I was brave enough to wrench my door open and see if anyone was out there, but the hallway would be empty and the gate would be open. A friend told me that if I was uncomfortable, I should try asking the spirit to leave or at least stay out of my bedroom. I did that and it worked for a little while, but the activity picked up again shortly after. I can't explain how, but I felt like it was the man from the den. One night, I was sleeping on the floor in my brother's room because I was particularly freaked out and had my dog sleeping on the floor next to me. We were all fast asleep, and then in the middle of the night, I was jolted awake and saw a black human-shaped shadow leaning over me just inches away from my face. Yikes. I screamed and the figure vanished. My dog immediately got up and started scratching under the bedroom door and growling. She stayed there for several moments, looking under the door and scratching at it. My brother was also awake at this point. We were both too afraid to open the door. Almost all of us have had at least one experience in that house where we saw a visible apparition. My brother's experience one night was probably the most frightening. It was late one night. The house was completely dark and quiet. He got up around 3 a.m. to use the bathroom in between our bedrooms. When you exited our bedrooms, you had a clear view over the banister to the living room downstairs. As my brother left his room, he told me that his eyes were drawn downstairs. We usually tried to avoid looking down there at night. He completely froze in fear. He told me that it felt like his stomach had dropped through the floor. Sitting on the couch was a young girl with long dark brown hair wearing a white dress. And then it says in parentheses, it's always a girl with long hair and a white dress, isn't it? She was sitting on the couch. My brother quickly ran into the bathroom, and to his horror, she was still there when he came out. He shut himself in the room for the rest of the night and didn't dare come back out until daylight. As I mentioned earlier, we were both fascinated by and afraid of what was going on in the house. In hindsight, I know this was a mistake and likely made things worse, but we decided to try using an EVP recorder to try to figure out what was going on in that house. We started off asking basic questions and making sure that no one whispered so that we could clearly differentiate our voices from voices that didn't belong. I did most of the talking, and as we were sitting in the downstairs living room, my brother and I were overcome with a sudden and overwhelming feeling of sadness and heaviness. I asked the question, "Are you here?" And when we played back the recording, we heard an incredibly clear male voice loudly whispering, "Help me, hear me." That's creepy. Mm-hmm. My brother and I no longer live in that house, but my mother, her roommate, and my grandparents are still there. The activity has appeared to decrease quite a bit over the last couple of years, but they still often have strange experiences there. I have no idea if it has anything to do with the antiques my grandmother has collected or with the house itself, but since none of the neighbors have ever mentioned experiencing anything in their own homes, I can't help but wonder if it is the antiques. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I hope you can use it on your show. It's from Alicia. So very, very haunted house. And I think it could be the antiques. I think it could be the house. I think you can have activity in your house and the neighbors won't have any in their houses.
Yeah. You know? I mean, unless, you know, she was suggesting that they lived on some sort of ground that, you know, would encompass more of the neighborhood. But that doesn't seem to maybe be the case. I'm really kind of leaning towards, I think there's a spirit in the house. Now, whether it came from antiques or maybe there was already something with the house, but then the antiques brought in some other energies. What do you think?
I think it could be both. I think that, you know, if you have a house full of antiques, it just seems to me your odds of bringing home something haunted are increased quite a bit. It's like, Grandma, quit bringing this shit home. Like, we don't need kitchen utensils from the 1700s, Grandma.
Yeah, you don't know where that's been, right? So, I mean, you do not know.
And creepy porcelain dolls.
Yeah. Yeah, grandma's, you don't know where those come from.
Yeah, grandma's got it going on. So I definitely think that could be it. And couldn't it kind of, could one thing feed off the other? Could you have brought something right. in, and then you have spirits in the house that are kind of feeding off that energy?
Mm-hmm.
Feeding off your own energy. Maybe when Alicia and her brother moved out,
Elise subsided.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, because it was kind of feeding off their, mm-hmm. they were afraid, and maybe they were, you know, kind of, well, the spirits were attracted to them too.
Yeah, because I'm just not sure it's really subsided, but maybe the people that are still living there just don't pick up on it as much as the kids did.
And grandma is just so into her own thing. Maybe she's in total denial of all of it.
Well, no one wants to admit that they brought the, you know, Black Death into their house on purpose because, you know, it was hooked to a wooden spoon that belonged to, you know, George Washington.
I don't know. That's why I always question about bringing antiques in. And I get why people do, because there are some beautiful antique pieces out there. I get why people love them. I just don't know. I just think it could be a combination of both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do too. I somehow have that feeling that there was something in this house to begin with, maybe, but bringing in all of these artifacts doesn't necessarily help.
And
it might trigger things.
If things are calming down, then that's good. Okay, well, here is a call.
My name's Nikki. I live in New England. And most of my family, I guess you could call us intuitive. My grandmother was able to predict every child born in our family down to the date, the gender, the weight of the baby. My mother and my grandmother both told me an account of my mother's experience when she was about five. A neighborhood girl had died of leukemia. She was about 11. My mother was about five at the time, and it was a wake, and my grandmother decided to bring her to this wake. Well, they were at the wake, and my mother yells out, "Why is everybody crying? She's right here," because she was having a conversation with this girl. And my grandmother, horrified, grabbed her by the hand and led her out of the funeral quite quickly and admonished her, because back then that was like the 60s. You didn't talk about that stuff. And, you know, she told her, don't tell people your abilities. They'll think you're crazy. Keep it to yourself. So a lot of the people in my family, we've all had all kinds of experiences. I'll have to call in other times and tell you. But then my great-grandfather, he died when I was probably about five. And when I was about 14, I was sleeping and looked over my shoulder. It was about 4 a.m., looked at the clock. I was sleeping on my stomach, looked at the clock, 4 a.m., and I see this huge figure standing at the foot of my bed. And of course, like everybody, I pulled the covers over my head and went back to sleep. But the most distinctive thing is I could remember this being wearing a brown robe. Fast forward to about, I was 20, and me and my grandmother were having a conversation, and I had mentioned, you know, yeah, when I was 14, this happened to me. And she said, your great-grandfather wore the same brown robe every night to bed. So, and then years later, when my sister was born, I was about 17, when she was about two or three, she would be constantly talking to somebody, and the lights would flicker on and off in the living room. And me and my mother happened to look in the living room one day, and she was playing with her toys on the floor and said, you know, we said, who are you talking to? And she said, Papa. We're like, Papa? Okay. And she's like, looks at my mother and she says, Mom, he's really tall. Well, at that time, we had no pictures of my great-grandfather. The only pictures we had were from the shoulder up, just a headshot done. And so that verified that that's who she was talking to, was my great-grandfather. And yeah, so that's my story. I know it's not as scary as some of your other callers, but I'll have to call in with some of my other stories. Take care. Bye.
Actually, I thought that was a great story.
I did too. I loved the story about, well, I don't know if I should have loved it, but I kind of did. The one about the funeral.
Right. And she's like, why are you crying? She's right here.
She's right there. Look over here, people.
And I think it's so interesting to have seen her grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because especially that would be weird for the grandmother to have your grandchild say, I saw this man in my room one night. He was wearing a brown robe. And it would be like, well, your grandfather always wore a brown robe.
Yeah.
I don't
exactly that, you know, as the, it might have kind of, I don't know. Well, she said that she came from a long line of yep. sensitives. So I was going to say, you know, sometimes you worry about saying like that to somebody that, you know, their husband or father or something that you saw or whatever. But when it's a family that is kind of used to having these, you know, experiences around them, she probably actually welcomed that.
I would think, you know, so.
Finding out that her granddaughter was,
has
actually had seen him.
Yeah.
You know.
And then it's interesting that the little girl had also seen him. So it was almost like he was just watching out for the grandkids. It's kind of what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And I think we do hear that quite a bit, though, with people hearing children talking and going in and they say, oh, well, I'm talking to, you know, the woman in the corner or something, you know. So that's pretty common.
Yeah. I like
with
that
children.
I like that story.
Yeah.
So if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. Call it in 855-853-4802. You could write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show, you get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. I think I already said that. Become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.